Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Quick Bock podcast, coming to you here on this Friday after an Australia win over England. Whatever the format, whatever the occasion, it's always nice. A couple more games to go in the T20 series, we'll cover that. We'll also cover Sri Lanka's great win earlier in the week. We'll touch on where England went wrong and where Sri Lanka went well. Look at India's domestic season going on at the moment, some domestic games, red ball cricket ahead of their test season. And we'll also touch on the fiasco in Afghanistan, New Zealand as well in the podcast. Lots going on there, except cricket. But we'll talk about it. Nash, India fan, how's things?
Yeah, it's good. It's good following the domestic cricket going on. And as you said, I wouldn't call it a fiasco, but yeah, whatever happened there. And of course, lots of cricket to follow. The county championship is almost ending. With some interesting performances, and yeah, it's a lots of cricket to look forward to.
For sure, and I love all the red ball cricket that's coming up. The World Test Championship race heating up. Before we go into Test cricket, touch on a bit of white ball. Australia first win in the T20s against England. Pretty good performance, I thought. Could have got more than the 179 that we got. After such a great start, Travis Head doing his work again in the power play, taking 30 runs off Sam Curran, who gives a send off the next over that he bowls. But anyway, we'll just let that slide. But Travis Head, amazing. I think Matt Short showed the potential that he has at the top of the order. Came in for Jake Fraser-McGurk. I think it's a big decision to drop Fraser-McGurk after a few games and then put Matt Short in. But I think they know that Matt Short's strength is the opening position.
Do you think it doesn't do a lot of good for someone like Jake?
You've got to manage confidence, right? Yeah, it's possible that can happen. So you've got to really put your arm over the shoulder and reassure him that you'll get his chance or something like that. Because, yeah, you can't just leave him in the corner. You've got to make sure you're always checking on him. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for Matt Short as well. It's good for Matt Short because he's not old. He's 28. He's not a youngster, but he should be at the peak
still
of his career
with
his fitness. And, yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's Champions Trophy coming up. There's the T20 World Cup. There's the 2027 50-over World Cup. So there's a lot to look forward to for both Matt Short and Jake Fraser-McGurk. So it depends on how Australia manage both of them.
Yes.
And where do their own performance take them?
That being said, I reckon there's some pressure on guys in the team as it is. So I look at Mitch Marsh. I like Mitch Marsh, but there's some pressure on him. He didn't have a great World Cup and he didn't have a good start to the series. And there's some players knocking on the door to try get into this T20 team. Competition for spots are heating up. So, for example, if you want Matt Short and Travis Head to open and you need, you know, someone performing at three, Mitch Marsh has to start performing at three. I know he's the captain, but there's other captaincy candidates there.
Do you think if things go from bad to worse for Marsh, do you think Head is a clear candidate for that captaincy role?
I think so. He's got experience in the captaincy role, as does Matt Short.
You got Cam Green as well there.
Cam Green, I don't know if they'll give him the captaincy at this stage. You could bat him at three, though, if they don't want to, you know, go with Mitch Marsh any further. That's looking ahead. Right. If Marsh comes out tonight and performs, then that's almost out the window because he's the captain and they'll back him. But he has to perform, as does Tim David. I think he's been short of runs for Australia in the last, going back to the World Cup as well. His numbers don't look too bad from an Australian perspective when you look overall, but it's not enough match winning knocks that I thought he could have because I've been a supporter of his having him in the T20 team. But as I said, there's a lot of guys looking to force their way into the team. So you've got to perform.
Yep.
You've got to perform. So look at those two players in particular in the batting lineup.
Look, I think with Cam Green, I will say this, though. It looks like, and you, maybe it's, you know, subconscious, but it looks like from an Australian perspective, he has been given a longer leash than other players. And rightly so, I'm not judging that. But to be honest, he's... in his fifth year of international cricket. So there's a lot more pressure on him as well. And, you know, there's when it comes to test cricket, we still don't know where he'll bat this summer. So there's a lot riding on Cam Green as a cricketer, as an all-rounder. So I think adding that captaincy element in the T20 internationals maybe just brings the best out of him.
Who knows? That's the thing. I think the time to try that is now, I suppose. If you know,
Exactly.
got what, a year and a half till the next T20 World Cup, now's the right time to do it, but they're not. So, yeah, I don't know if they'll try that later when the World Cup gets closer. I don't think they will. But yeah, you say he's in his 50. I think he's starting to really find his feet more and more. Played that match-winning knock in New Zealand earlier in the year. That was an amazing performance on a pitch where everyone else struggled. He played brilliantly. And he's starting, I think he's doing some good things in T20 cricket. Yeah, I think, look, he's still, what is he, mid-20s? Mid-20s at the moment. So, look, it's a big summer coming up ahead for him. I think they've got to really find a proper role for him in the test team.
I mean,
The reason why he's been given a longer leash is because the ceiling is so high. The ceiling is so high.
exactly. And the thing is, when I look at Cam Green's career, not only Test cricket, but even T20 international, looking at his career so far, most of the career he has batted as an opener, but then there's some matches where he's batted at four, he's batted at six, he's batted at seven.
Played
So
somewhere.
even Australia don't know where he fits in.
I think he'd make a
And they
good
have to.
three in T20s. I think even someone like a Fraser McGurk could be worth a shot at three as well. That's why I look at Mitch Marsh. You've got to start performing that because there's other options, within the team and also outside of the 11 as well that can come into the side and perform. The same with Tim David. There's some guys there like Cooper Connolly. They would love to give him a chance in the middle order over an extended period of time, see what he can do there. And then we've got guys like, Josh Inglis is now, I think, going to be set in the team. He looks so good, particularly against spin. And that's going to be important. But I worry about Mitch Marsh against spin in particular. And we've got the next T20 World Cup in India. We've got the Champions Trophy in Pakistan. I know that T20 pitches in India have been pretty good for batting over the last few years, but you're still going to be tested by spin in those conditions. I do worry about that, and Australia might have to make a call on that soon if the runs don't come for him. So that's one thing I'd say. And look, I don't mean
Absolutely.
to put it down. We've won, and we've won the game. But looking at what happened in the World Cup, and looking at the talent that's coming through in T20 cricket for us, might be worth a bit of a refresh in a few areas to continue to drive those standards. And it's a format we've maybe neglected a bit over the years. You've got some players there that are very exciting white ball cricketers. Give them a chance. This is the time to do it.
Well, from one format of cricket to the other format, let's touch on the baseball. Let's touch on England Sri
Okay,
Lanka
here we
last
go.
test match.
Here we
Let's
go.
touch on what happened. I mean, it's not like, well, it is like England to drop at least one test match in a summer. So,
Well, you called it. You called it at the start. You said they'll drop one. I thought they'd win all of them against West Indies and Sri Lanka. But yeah, you said they'll drop one.
And it is that arrogance, I think. It is that the way they got out in that last innings, I think it's nothing to do with confidence. It has
No,
nothing to
yeah.
do with the skill. It's
It was a
just that
complete
them.
lack of care.
Yeah, it was like them thinking they're about the game. And that's what we have seen from England fans, the team, and even the experts and journalists as well, thinking like they're changing the game. Now, the famous writer of the baseball book, I won't say his name, but came out with a statement the other day that is, does Harry Brook need to go back to a more, sort of a traditional approach? I mean, I'm like, when he batted the way he did and scored runs, you were putting him on a pedestal. You literally wrote a book 1 year in of this sort of, shenanigans, and then now you just, but that's English media, isn't it? That's English media in any sport,
It was
even
it
in
was
football,
they like to go off early, don't they? Not realizing that opponents will study you, they'll study your weaknesses and try to target them. Now, that's one player you brought him up I want to just focus on because Harry Brook has got game. He's got talent, right? But what he doesn't have yet is the ability to fight through a bit of a tricky period and get out the other side and then build. Everything needs to be going sort of what we say in
The
football
thing
terms.
is,
You're running downhill, everything's going well, you look good.
Yep.
But when you're tested
Look,
a
you
little bit.
mentioned that, and sorry, I tend to disagree. You mentioned that, and I saw your tweet the other day as well.
Disagree with
But
what?
looking that, you know, Harry Brook doesn't needs to just stay on the wicket and see through the tough period. When I say I disagree, I'm speaking from the point of view of does he have that skill level? Because there's Joe Root. He has shown how to do
Yeah,
it.
my point is he's got to develop that or show it
Yeah, exactly.
to be
Okay.
successful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I saw your tweet as well, and I was like, does he really have that skill level at this moment? Because from where I'm looking, I don't think any of those batters aside from Joe Root really has that. Not
I
even
agree
Ollie
with you.
Pope. Ollie Pope's career has been just a graph where it's like a pendulum swing and it just
Well,
goes either way.
the thing with Ollie Pope is he's got two scores of 150 plus this year, India
Yep.
and Sri Lanka.
That was criminal from India, to be honest.
But in both those series, he's averaged less than 35 at the end of it across both those series. That's just the one big innings and a lot of not much here and there, right? And that's the thing. The thing with Harry Brook, he's going to be tested. He's not going to be given everything he wants in Australia. He's not going to be given everything he wants in New Zealand, although he did play great innings there last year. Not everything is going to go your way. And there was a period where Sri Lanka were bowling wide out, side off stumped him, testing his patience. And I think he sort of showed that he was frustrated, went across to his off stump and pretended to take his batting guard from outside off and showed his frustration. They're not there to make life easy for you.
Exactly.
They're not, there, and that's the same with England. They're not there to make your life easy. How are you going to respond to it? I
Yeah,
think
it's that
Australia, look at that.
entitlement feeling that, you know, just because I can throw
Yeah.
my bat around, you have to bowl to
Percent.
my strong points, which is not test cricket. That's not test how test cricket works.
They're going to try and work you out, and it's not going to be smooth sailing all the time in Test cricket. It's how you get through that period and then come out the other side. Harry Brook has not shown that to me often enough yet. And I think Australia next year, you got the blueprint. It's two key deliveries you bowl at him. It's in the channel outside off stump, a little bit wider, test his patience, test his resolve, or at the helmet and get two guys out of because he's going to go for the hook to try and get away. You got guys catching.
Yep.
And then you
And
go, how are you going to
it's
overcome that as Brook, you know?
I might be calling it early, or you know, but I can see this England team struggling in tests for the next 12 months. And with India summer as well next year, I think I'm putting a lot of confidence on India. But I think it's that sort of attitude that's going to catch up to them pretty soon.
And if an opponent is worth their weight in gold or worth a grain of salt or rice, or they'll do their research and look at the weaknesses and try exploit them because there are weaknesses there. Ollie Pope gets bowled far too often for a top order batsman in Test cricket. Ben Duckett has got some qualities, but he can give his wicket away. Once you keep these guys quiet for a few balls, you're in the game. That
Yeah,
was the sort of
exactly.
thing. That's the sort of thing I had my. Disappointments with Australia in last year's Ashes over there. We let guys get off the mark so quickly and let them get into their innings really quickly. My point was, why don't you bring the field up earlier in their innings and see what they do? If they try go for the boundary, let them go for the boundary. Don't give them an easy single. Keep them on, you know, a few dot balls and see what they do. They will get themselves out. They've got this. They're so in love with Buzz Ball now that once there's a few dots, they're itching to get away. You know what I'm saying? Once
Yep,
there's a few dot
exactly.
balls, they're itching to get going, and then the wicket take an opportunity might come. Think about getting them out. Don't just think about containing them. There's an opportunity there to get them out. I reckon that's got to
It's
be the mindset.
about picking for England, it's about picking your battles. And
Yes,
I
I don't
think
think they do that very well. And I think there was a lot of
yep.
complacency, as you said, in this Sri Lanka test match where that second innings was abysmal. It was complete lack of care, playing it as if it was not even a T20, but a T10 at times. And
And
James
we saw
Smith.
that in India as well. We saw that
Yep.
in India after a good start by Ben Duckett and the openers, they just threw it away. And
They've done it a few
I
times and
blame,
thrown away wins, thrown away
yeah, I
opportunities.
blame the Indian bowlers as well, letting a batter like Ben Duckett get away with runs in India against someone like Ashwin and Akshar and Jadeja. That's again criminal. But you know, and that those sort of statements that we saw from England when they were in India saying, you know, we must
We
get
need the
credit for
credit.
how India is, but yeah, and that's just pathetic, and that's just arrogance, and you know, there's players who did that far before you
Yes.
ever even thought of it. So,
Absolutely. But look, long may those quotes continue because it makes for a good laugh. And
definitely,
Phil Sprott the other
definitely.
day said, you know, everything went well except for the result after the first T20 against Australia.
Yep.
The more of that, the
I mean, you
Life
have to
change.
win. They are trying to change this narrative that, oh, we are
Exactly.
enjoying cricket. You have to win.
Exactly.
That's
Winning
why
is
you are
most important.
elite.
At
That's
the
why
end
you're
of the day, it's
elite
about winning.
competitive cricketers. You have to win. If you're not winning, you can't make any statements.
It's a
You
very
just accept
junior,
that you lost.
cricket, under 12s, under 10s mentality, isn't it? We go in there, participate, and have fun. It's about
That's
winning.
right. That's
This
right.
loss for England is damaging when it comes to the World Test Championship hopes of reaching the final. Do they care about that? I don't
I
know.
don't think they
But
do anymore.
as an
But yeah, you
Australian,
know.
I don't mind. As I don't mind
We'll
that.
be here all day. Moving on.
I don't mind.
We have Indian domestic cricket to
Yes.
discuss. And it's the Dilip Trophy going on at the moment, India ABCD. And it's some good needed red ball practice for some of the Indian players that are there before the Bangladesh series, before a massive sort of massive summer here in Australia as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the Bangladesh series goes after this warm up, and it's been really good. It's been really good that we have seen a few hundreds. We have seen a few good performances from youngsters as well. Mushir Khan scoring that 175 in the last in the first test. You know, bowlers like Akashdeep getting some runs, averaging sorry, getting some wickets, averaging 12.
Good bowling, that
And
guy.
Rishabh, yeah, exactly. And Rishabh Pant batting the way he does. So it's overall looking good. Akshar Patel getting some runs as well. So it's it's been fun following domestic cricket, and it started at the right time.
Yeah, and I think with India is that they've always got that focus on fast bowling depth. So they've got their guys coming through. I think if I'm not mistaken, Yash Dayal is in the squad for that left arm option as well. I think he's shown some good signs and he's come a long way. And Akashdeep has got, I think, a pretty good record from memory, first class cricket. So yeah, I think India with their focus, I mean Akashdeep is averaging 22 in first class cricket after 30 odd games. That's very impressive. And I think that's been driven for the last decade, having that fast bowling focus. But I think the thing for India is, I don't know if they're not going to have a problem with fast bowling here in Australia. I think they'll really test our batting lineup. It's going to be, can the batters get enough runs and spend enough time at the crease? What have you made of the batting so far in this Dilip Trophy?
It hasn't been consistent. It hasn't been no one has really sort of troubled the bowlers for longer periods. You know, there's been low scores. I'll say low because it's been 280, 300, 350. But that also goes to show the emergence of the Indian bowling department. You know, for when I was growing up, these domestic games would easily end up scoring 500, 400, 600,
Very high
and
scoring.
now it's an equal, it's a level playing field. So that's really good to see. And with that, I'll quickly touch on the India Bangladesh series as well, because you know, for me, this series is will just confirm that final spot for the World Test Championship. And so we can, I mean, maybe it's too early, but I think it's only Bangladesh, New Zealand, and then Australia for us. So
I think Sri Lanka can still make it. Oh, you're talking about what India have left? Gotcha.
But with couple of wins in these two test matches for India, I think that really will seal that final spot for the World Test Championship. So unless New Zealand and Australia series goes really horribly, horribly wrong,
Yeah, I
but
think if you win
I
your
don't
home
think.
games, which I expect India to do, and then avoid a 5-0 in Australia, should be fine, I think.
And with that, we also have to discuss the playing 11 for the India Bangladesh series. And India, with the squad announcement this week, they have it's nothing out of the ordinary. It's
Yes.
a very it's a well expected score. There's no surprises, and KL Rahul is back, so I think they'll after the he did not play the England series, I think they will start with Rohit and Jaiswal at the top, Gill at number three, Kohli at number four, Rahul at number five, Pant at number six, Jadeja, Aksar, Ashwin, the spin trio, at 7, 8, 9, and then finish off with Bumrah and Siraj. So it depends, because I was looking at the Bangladesh squad and it looks an even squad between right-handers and left-handers. So it's really difficult to say whether they will go with Kuldeep or not. But I think they'll go with the tried and tested option of Aksar, Jadeja and Ashwin. So I think with the test matches being played in Chennai and Kanpur, I think that's the safest option. They might even go with four spinners if in Chennai and just play Bumrah or Siraj. So I think they'll go with Bumrah, which is obviously the best option. But with five tests in India in Bangladesh and New Zealand, they'll have to sort of rotate between Siraj, Yash Dayal, Akash Deep as well. So everyone will get enough chances, I think.
I think so. And it's a good time to sort of rotate your fast bowlers. And then, you know, you have your spinners do a lot of the work and give your quicks that opportunity. From Bangladesh's perspective, I think they had in their top six, four or five left-handers against Pakistan. I think they had Zakir Hassan. Shadman Islam was opening in that. And then they had the captain, Najmul Hussain Shanta, was at three.
Yep.
Shakib is in there as well. Mominu was in there as well. A lot of left-handers there, unless they want to swap one of the openers out for Muhammadul Hassan Joy, who's also an opener, but he's a right-hander. But then you've still got to deal with Jadeja and Akshar. That's the challenge for the Bangladeshis. Play the straight ball well. That's going to be their big thing. Don't get out to the straight ball. If it spins past your edge, forget about it. And don't worry about the inside edge. Just cover your inside edge. I think you've got to play for
easier said than done.
Easier said than done, but it has to be your mindset. That has to be your focus. If you play for turn and it's not there, good night. But I like what Bangladesh showed in Pakistan. This is a whole different test, though. But if they can show some good signs and continue to develop in that good trajectory, I think that I like their look of their fast bowling attack. I've said this before. I grew up in the days 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they had to keep turning back to Rubil Hussain, who has one of the worst averages of any bowler with 20-odd wickets in Test cricket. I think he averaged 75, 76. They kept turning back to him because they had no one. It's a bit different now. Maybe they're going through what India did a decade ago and they're starting to really focus on their fast bowling. Good test. And good test for the likes of Shubman Gill. He's a big
test.
Big season for him to, you know, get rid of those doubts of him as a number three and him as a test batsman.
Well, I think that's the episode for today. We have covered a lot. And there's a lot of test match cricket, white ball cricket.
Unfortunately, no test cricket in Greater Noida.
Yes.
That's going to be a big wake-up call before we wrap up.
Fiasco, really. I mean, because I'll raise you a question as an Australian. Do we move all the tests away from Sydney then? Because in the last 5 years, there's been three draws in Sydney, four draws.
It's not my point. If it's raining, you can't do anything about it. But the first 2 days, there was no rain in this test match, and they couldn't get on. My point is the ground has to be fit enough for test cricket. I looked at the ground. It's in worse condition than my backyard, and my backyard's full of weeds.
But that's the thing. And there's conflicting report as well, so we really don't know what's true. But the one thing is that ground isn't certified by the BCCI. That ground isn't used for anything by the BCCI. And that was apparently BCCI gave the ACB three options and they chose Noida because I think when Afghanistan was coming up the ranks of red ball cricket, Noida was their sort of the home ground that they played a lot of first class cricket on for their home tests or for their tests, and they practiced there a lot, so they felt that sort of familiarity with that ground, with that venue. So that's why I think they went with that. So it's just a case of just you can't do anything there really with the weather.
Look, the weather, I agree with you. the ground condition because the drainage is so poor that they use the electric fans and they try to cut and paste turf from the practice area. You can't have that at Test cricket. My point is, if the weather's good, the drainage should be good enough to allow for play. I just read now that it's been officially abandoned. So the whole Test match has been abandoned without a ball bowled. I think it's the eighth time in history that has happened. So we've seen history here. You
Yeah,
know, first
if
time in the
records.
21st century, first time in the 21st century, a match washed out completely due to rain. That didn't happen in Sydney. So
Yeah.
we've got that. Let's hope
Yay
that
for
doesn't happen.
records.
It's a day for records. Anyway, so yeah, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks, Nash, and thanks everyone for listening. You can catch us on Crick Blog Pod on X and also on Instagram. We post a whole bunch of reels there from our episodes, and also catch us on YouTube where we post the full episodes and a whole bunch of shorts there as well. Crick Blog TV is the YouTube handle. Thanks, Nash. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.